Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 476. Science Faction, I call BS.
We're back to I Call BS, baby. I missed a week. Every week for years, I've been going to my favorite dominatrix. My favorite dominatrix, by the way, is my good friend Bobby. And he's been humiliating me and giving me the release I need. Last week, we took a week off to promote our Patreon, which was great. And I highly suggest everybody sign up. But I've been missing it, Bobby. I need it. Make me feel like shit.
Yep, and after all the dildo stuff, we play I Call BS, so let's get into that.
Wait, you weren't recording?
All right, let's get right on to I Call BS.
I Call.
I Call.
I Call.
I Call.
I Call.
Ring, ring.
I Call BS.
Article number one. A research team has released an effective vaccine against the common cold. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. There is not a vaccine against the common cold, but there is a cure. It is vitamin C and zinc.
Oh, that's
vitamin
it.
Z and zinc.
Okay, all right.
A teacher.
Not a teacher discovered. Zinc actually is the thing that we do know for sure does help when you have a cold, so that's not bad.
It's impossible to have both scurvy and the cold. It is physically impossible.
Scurvy and the cold sounds like the original rejected version of Benny and the Jets. Scurvy and the cold.
See, I was going to say it was a backup name for Mumford and Sons.
Sorry, Damien, this one is science. A Danish company has been working on this for quite a while. Actually, a lot of research teams have been working on this for like 50 years. What we call the common cold can be caused by a lot of different type of viruses, rhinoviruses, human respiratory viruses, coronaviruses, as we know. This vaccine is one of the RSVs, human respiratory syncytial virus. RSV kills tens of thousands of infants every year, as well as a bunch of really, really old people. It also just makes us sick and causes a bunch of economic downturn with people not going to work and, you know, other issues, et cetera, et cetera. It also is responsible for like 1 in 6 hospital admissions for kids is this particular virus. So it's one that causes a lot of problems, and we don't have anything right now that gives you any kind of immunity to it. So this particular vaccine were tried with 420 adults over the age of 55, and they found the vaccine was able to produce a broad and durable antibody and T-cell response against both of the RSV subtypes that we see infecting human beings that we see as the common cold. It also appears to keep this immune response for at least 6 months and can be boosted up to 12 months with a secondary shot. This is really, really neat news for a few reasons. One is curing the common cold has always been the goal. Now, again, there are still a series of viruses, including rhinoviruses and coronaviruses, that will not be cured by this. So you could still catch a cold, just not one of these. But RSVs tend to be some of the worst colds, especially for very young children. If we did have a vaccine for them, we would drastically free up medical personnel who, again, spend 1/6 of their time with kids in hospitals on this particular virus. So save us a lot of downtime from work, save us from getting sick and getting the cold, save us medical expenses, keep kids out of the hospital. All fantastic things. I hope my son grows up in a time where all of the colds are gone, but it would be nice if we at least got the hit off with this one.
I actually come from a small town in Northern California where my family worked at the main business in town, and that was a business that made like Kleenexes, like nose tissues, but for children. Mm. If this vaccine goes through, you might as well kill my small town.
That's true. They also made body bags for children. Yeah. So.
Oh, well, we're big into child death.
Yeah. Big dead kid.
Has that it clown in the sewers. We love him. He's our high school mascot.
There are no crosswalks. Or there are, but nobody pays attention.
We just learned to be a good kid.
Oh, dear. Article number two. A new paper suggests that despite what was previously believed, syphilis did not come back to Europe from the New World with Columbus's return. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. It didn't come back with Columbus. It came back when Columbus's sleazier friend's ship made it back. Sicily Joe.
Oh, I knew that Sicily Joe. He was a skeezy dude.
Oh, I'm slain in the New World, brother.
You know he's a liar because he has syphilis and a cold.
Told him. Needs more zinc and vitamin C.
Sorry, Damien, this one is science. We've talked about this one a little bit back and forth. Now, the general model is that syphilis is what I call the natives' revenge. It's like syphilis and tobacco because, you know, white people came over with like smallpox and dysentery, like just all these horrible diseases that wiped out native populations. And we thought, at least, that the only thing they sent back was syphilis, which came back on the ships and spread throughout Europe and caused horrible infections. It was much worse back in the day, by the way. Syphilis was a much worse infection. So much so to the point that the term smallpox gets its name because it was thought to be less of a deal than the big pox, which was syphilis. So if you want to think of how serious syphilis was the big deal, smallpox, just a small thing.
Oh, I thought it was like an ironic name for smallpox, like jumbo shrimp.
Yeah, so like they grew tobacco is native to the Americas, so tobacco got imported. So like lung cancer and syphilis, we at least thought that was the only native revenge they got. But there's this back and forth as to whether or not that is actually true. We do know that the worst syphilis cases, the ones that raged through Europe that caused King George to go mad and just fucked up millions of people throughout Europe, did start after Columbus's return.
Europe's most fuckable dudes.
It's always been assumed that that's where it came from. However, there are some stuff throughout Europe that does mimic on bones, in meaning like if we look back at ancient remains, there is stuff that does look like syphilis, which, by the way, does affect your bones at some point. However, we can't tell if it's syphilis or a related disease called yaws. Now, both of these are caused by the same bacteria, but they're different strains of the same bacteria and they affect you in different ways. Syphilis obviously is an STD, yaws is not. Yaws is something that little kids catch from one another. So these split off, the one that causes yaws and the one that causes syphilis, around 2,500 years ago. And in terms of venereal syphilis, it looks like we can trace all venereal syphilis back to a common ancestor between the 12th and the 16th century. So what could have happened is it could have been horizontal gene transfer. It could have been that some of the syphilis that was over around in the New World came over and traded genes and it came back. Maybe it wasn't that kind of syphilis in the New World. Maybe it was always in the Old World. But what it looks like is that not only do we have these two strains, we have an actual third strain that we didn't know about that evolved in parallel with syphilis and yaws. And that one, we don't even know what it happens to people when they get it because we don't know of it infecting any live person yet. All of this is to suggest that some of the spread of the syphilis that we saw based on some of these remains happened before Columbus returned. And so even though the really bad implications seem to happen afterwards, there is some tantalizing clues that syphilis was around in the Old World before Columbus's voyage. Maybe it was just in a lesser state. Maybe it wasn't nearly as bad. We talked about that with smallpox a while back with the Vikings the other week. Maybe that was the case. Who knows? But very interesting. And this is, by the way, not at all definitive. We could still find out that syphilis actually totally was a New World disease tomorrow. We could find out that it wasn't the next day. We are in nowhere near certainty mode. This is just some interesting new evidence that suggests syphilis could have been in the New World before Columbus's voyage.
Cicely Joe disagrees. Capiche?
I like how Cicely Joe's offended that somebody else might have been the one spreading the STDs.
Oh, nobody spread it like Cicely Joe. Hey, oh, whoa.
I like how a guy from like 15th century Italy sounds like a guy from 2012 Jersey.
Oh, the guys in Jersey, they're true. They're like they study the old ways. Oh, I'm walking here.
Article number 3. New research suggests that the cerebellum, or little brain, is actually much smaller than originally thought. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. We as a species have been chopping open skulls and looking at brains for a long time. I have to imagine, even in the early days of science, looking at a cerebellum on a live person. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to say we got that clocked. No, it's bad science.
All right. This is bad science, Damien, but not for the reason you said, so I'm not giving you credit. It's actually the opposite. It turns out to be much bigger than we originally thought.
I'm not giving you answers anymore. I'm just going to say bad science.
Then you'd be wrong by omission, right? So
that's bullshit. Scientists regularly just say science or bad science.
So we discovered it because of a combination of advanced fMRI techniques and software. So they used an ultra-high field 9.4 Tesla MRI machine to scan the brain and a set of custom software to process the images. By the way, this happened right near here at SDSU. So they discovered that there was tightly packed folds that actually contain a surface area equal to 80% of the cerebral cortex's surface area. In other animals, that's only about 30%. So what's happening is, just like your brain itself that's all crumpled up and wrinkled up to have an object that has a huge surface area in a much smaller skull, a much smaller space by crinkling it up, the same thing is happening with the cerebellum. And what we thought was essentially a static structure that was of a certain size is similar to the brain, much larger when you unfold it. So very, very interesting. Article number 4, a new type of cotton may help the environment. By growing cotton that has multiple colors. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, and this is also bad news. I told you I grew up in a town that produced body bags for children as well as
yes.
child's nose tissues.
Yes. Well,
our sister town, the ones we played in high school football all the time,
mm-hmm.
they made nylon rainbow clown wigs, and this is going to put them out of business now.
Wait, isn't that good? Because those are your rivals?
Well, I mean, like, here's the thing. We're all in rural America. We all stick together, you know, like, hey,
gotcha.
we want to beat them on the football field. We don't want to, you know, beat them with heroin addiction and opioid addiction. Yes. And
we want to beat them on the football field and apathetically possibly transfer coronavirus to them by not wearing masks.
That's my freedom.
What we don't want.
Woo, brother. You understand.
Oh, dear. Indeed, Damien, this is science. So you might wonder, how in the world can, like, multiple colored cotton help the environment? So what they want to do is use genetic engineering to grow cotton that's naturally colored. Like, it just grows as blue cotton or red cotton as opposed to that white cotton. And that would eliminate the need for dyeing, which actually accounts for a significant amount of water waste and contamination. Because not only does it take a lot of water to dye shirts, but it actually, that dye ends up getting into groundwater storage systems later. And so...
Well, cool. Blue water. That's awesome.
Well, it's weird to think, but just being able to naturally grow blue cotton would save tons of ink and pollution.
Yeah, I've actually heard, like, getting your clothes the color you want them is disproportionately destructive to the environment.
Absolutely.
But I'm not stopping. I'm wearing my bright pink shit everywhere. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, it's those and then there's things too with, like, nylon fabrics where little bits of your nylon fabric get washed away in the laundry and then, you know, go out to sea and become part of, like, the plastic beads and the plastic problem, microplastic problem we have in the ocean. And so that doesn't necessarily get eliminated by this, except for the fact that...
What am I supposed to do? Wear last year's fashions, Bobby?
Well, that happens with a lot of nylon fabrics, and one of the things that is beneficial to nylon is that, you know, in the comparison to cotton, it is easier to color. And so if you had cotton that was growing its own color, all of a sudden you might see more straight cotton and less nylon out, which actually could also indirectly affect the amount of microplastics that are in the ocean. So it's one of those things that could have numerous effects in a lot of different ways. It's weird to think that just having a different color cotton could dramatically save parts of the environment, but totally true.
It'd be beautiful to see just wave like a rainbow cotton.
Yeah.
Like, don't eat it. It looks like cotton candy, but don't eat it. It's very not flavorful.
I feel like the red one, like, would look, like, especially if you get a nice spotted white and red, so it just looked like somebody got brutally murdered in the cotton field.
Very select murder trees.
All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for 476, where you learned all about a vaccine for the common cold, how syphilis might not have come from the New World, why the cerebellum is so much bigger than we previously thought, and how colored cotton might save the environment. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 477.
A lot of people talk a lot of shit about Sicily Joe spreading a lot of syphilis. Well, he spread a lot of gonorrhea too. Report it.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.